Hello, welcome one and all to episode 7 of the Laser Guided Melodies podcast, hosted by your friends, Lauren James and Ed Bix.
Hello.
We've designated this edition of the podcast as the Record Store Day special. Record Store Day is held on the Saturday the 19th of April and is a nationwide celebration of the independent record store. More on that later. We'll also have brief reviews of albums by the Kaiser Chiefs, Cloud Nothings. We'll be clearing room for the anniversary section because on that front, it's an extremely busy edition. Oh, goody. Mm-hmm. We'll be looking at REM's second album, Reckoning, released 30 years ago this month, and Pixies' classic Doolittle, which will be 25, and also Nas's debut, Illmatic, which will be 20. As per usual, you can find us on Twitter at @LGMelodies or on Facebook, or of course by typing LG Melodies, Laser Guided Melodies even, into the address bar. Into the address bar.
You may have to forgive our slight lacklusterness this week as Lauren has run a 10K and is currently unable to stand up. And football results have been very poor this weekend and I'm just feeling a bit crappy.
Ed's taken himself out with an extremely fatty flapjack.
Yeah.
And can no longer
walk. Amazing flapjack. Thank you, Franz Ferdinand.
Franz Ferdinand recipe.
Yeah. So, let's begin. Record Store Day 2014.
Yeah, again, it's held on the 19th of April, which is Easter Sunday, Saturday.
Saturday.
It's not Easter Sunday. Yeah. The day before Jesus was risen.
Jeebus.
Oh no, he was risen on the Sunday, died on the Friday. No, I don't know.
Yeah, let's not be blasphemous.
It's an annual event that's now in its 7th year. And it's designed to boost awareness and exposure of independent record stores because of the way that their sales has suffered due to supermarkets, downloads, and, of course, large online retailers.
Mm-hmm.
Our podcast is Leeds-based, so we're going to talk about the participating outlets in our fair city, but this is something that's going on in most independent record stores in the country. So if you live in Leeds, you can head down to Crash, which is on the Hedgerow, just off Briggate, or St John's Centre's Jumbo Records.
Yeah.
Both of those are participating. They're the big stores that are doing it.
Get like t-shirts and all sorts of other stuff there. It's not just like racks and racks of obscure CDs.
Yeah.
They're pretty on top of it.
Yeah. Also, Tribe and Waxworks are both also in the centre of Leeds, but they're more for electronic music fans, so we're not sure if they'll have the full cachet of Record Store Day releases, and there are some serious releases. There's about 600.
Yeah. I think we should just mention there's a store called Pomp and Circumstance in Harrogate as well, which is near enough to Leeds for it to mention.
Yeah.
Warrant a mention.
Mm.
But the full list of releases is on the Record Store Day website.
Some insane,
absolutely
releases.
Mind-bogglingly long list that we can't possibly hope to cover.
All kinds of bands and artists.
Yeah,
releasing things.
Quite a lot of reissues of classic albums, actually.
Yeah, and some new stuff too. So here's our highlighted list.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read out now. Jake Bugg will be releasing live from Silver Platters on CD and 12-inch.
Yep, I should hopefully get sort of more commercially aware indie fan in.
Yeah, talking about indie fans, Death Cab for Cutie will also be releasing their live 2012 album.
Yeah.
Cut Copy releasing double A-side single. Foals will be giving us live from the Royal Albert Hall, and there'll be a reissue of the first ever Joy Division EP, An Ideal for Living.
That is pretty good, actually. That's not been in circulation for ages.
That's going to get snapped up fast.
Yeah.
Also, Jimi Hendrix live in Monterey, LCD Sound System, The Long Goodbye.
This LCD Sound System release is going to be available about 2 weeks later in all other outlets. Basically, they're just giving it sort of a pre-release. It's a 5-disc recording of their last ever gig at Madison Square Garden.
MSG.
And, that's definitely worth investing in. It's 4.5 hours of material on that.
There's many more. New Pixies album, Indie Cindy, will be released 2 weeks later on CD.
Yeah.
There'll also be a Dinosaur Junior book and 5 7-inch disc compilations. I've seen this Dinosaur Junior book. It's amazing, really illustrated and awesome. In fact, Ed, I was going to get it for your birthday, but the shipping charges from the US were...
astronomical?
It was like more than the book, which wasn't cheap anyway. But luckily, it will be hitting the UK on Record Store Day, so it might be something that I look out for. You know, live Tame Impala album, which should be good. If you've ever seen the Aussies live, they are seriously good.
Well, I'm going to at Latitude this year.
Oh, yeah?
Hip Hip Hooray. Mm. There's also a CD called The Space Project, which is a various artist compilation, including Spiritualized, which we played a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. There is, amusingly, a compilation entitled Rockabye Baby, Lullaby Renditions of David Bowie.
That's such an excellent way to brainwash your small children. Anyway.
And finally, if it's your kind of thing, which we're hoping, as you know, the cool list people who listen to this show, One Direction...
You don't have to be cool to be in our gang, but...
it helps.
Yeah.
One Direction are wading into Record Store Day with a 7-inch of Midnight Memories.
Which is admirable of them, because not many mainstream acts do this.
And it's going to get a lot more younger people involved with Record Store Day, which is not a bad thing, to be honest.
Good for them. Well done, One Direction.
Boom.
Yeah. And, yeah, they're all on the Record Store Day website. It's available as a PDF.
Get there early, we say.
Yeah, get there early if you're not held hostage by your relatives on Easter Saturday.
People camp outside record stores just because once it's gone, it's gone.
Well, I can't be there because I'll be in rural Hertfordshire and there's no independent record stores
really?
For quite some way. Uh-oh. It's not in Stevenage, certainly not. There's no civilization there.
Enough with slagging off Stevenage.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some exciting new album releases that have happened recently. Education, Education, Education and War by none other than the Kaiser Chiefs.
Lead Zone.
Released this week. There are lots of mixed opinions about the Kaiser Chiefs and we'll go into that after we've played you this clip called Cannons. Leave us on the stretchers where the credits roll. Retreating safely to institutes. Within a party, military forces toast themselves with the blood of us all. Smashing regimes between courses, chanting education, education and war. You were just listening to Cannons by the Kaiser Chiefs from their latest album, Education, Education, Education and War, which I believe is their fourth studio album.
Fifth studio album.
Fifth studio album.
Yeah, I know. And there are some out there going, five? Really? But yes, anyway. Lead Zone released their fifth album on Monday. It was number one in the midweek's chart and we're recording this on Sunday and it's looking set to make number one at the end of the week, which would be something of a revival for them. Basically, Kaiser Chiefs' career has been sort of on the slide for the last 5 years.
Since Ruby, really.
Well, I mean, Ruby, it was number one. It was a huge hit, but honestly, I don't think it would have been capable of being a B-side for any of their employment singles.
Yeah.
It was, even then, the slump was quite noticeable. It was quite plodding. It was Terrace Chant. Okay, Infectious, but still, it didn't have any of the like the oomph that they become famous for. Then they made a third album called Off With Their Heads. They followed it up very quickly from their second album and they got Mark Ronson on board to produce that album and it didn't really do anything, which took many by surprise. Basically, it was a bit samey and lacked punch, as did its follow-up, The Future Is Medieval, in 2011, which, for the those who can remember, had a really great marketing gimmick behind it, whereby they put 20 songs on their website and you could pick 13 of them and arrange them in any order you wanted and like make your own album kind of way. Right. Yeah, great concept, sadly wasted on lackluster material.
Mm.
So here, 2014, we find them needing a bit of a shake-up. Now, Ricky Wilson has at least maintained a sort of public profile with...
Thanks to his The Voice.
Yes, exactly, which is ending this weekend. Completely unlike, let's say, Johnny Burrell, whose Razorlight group also slumped, but he's basically disappeared. Anyway, so they're still in the public eye to some extent. Nick Hodgson, the original drummer, he's left, replaced by a fella called VJ Mystery. So they need a shake-up, need a revival, and nothing's changed. They're very much the same band. It's really not a very good album at all. Very lumpen in places, and in terms of pacing, they tend to sort of slam it straight into mid-gear for most of their songs and just stay there for the entire time. So, you know, loud drums, loud guitars, all the sort of the anthemicness that you would expect. But it doesn't really have many magic to it. And listening to it on SoundCloud, I immediately noticed that all of the tracks were represented the same in terms of bars. It was just solid for the entire track. And that's exactly how it is. It's just all hi-fi, shiny guitars, overproduced to the extent that it sounds underproduced. Kaiser Chief's thing was always social commentary, wasn't it?
Yes.
Particularly back in employment era. But this fella called Fraser T. Smith, who was a songwriter they brought in for three songs on this, he wrote all songs for Adele, like Set Fire to the Rain recently. He seems to have a better handle on what it is that Kaiser Chief's appeal is.
But just the fact that they hired someone to write their songs.
Well, wrote with them, not for them. But his influence appears really noticeable. I mean, you just heard one of the tracks, Cannons. That's by quite a distance the best song.
Yeah,
on
I was going to say, I enjoyed that.
Had keyboards, it had that spoken word outro, which you didn't hear on the clip because obviously we can't play it because of time restrictions. But that was like getting to some sort of thematic heart to it, you know, wasted youth and sort of the way society is going and what promise is there for the youngsters these days. But it's just not there on any of the other songs, except the other ones that Smith writes, called The Factory Gates and Ruffians on Parade. They could have fit alongside Employment back in 2005. But for the rest of the album, it sounds rather ordinary and uninspired. If you've got the album and you enjoy it, then fair enough. I'm glad somebody enjoys it. I mean, I like the concept of Kaiser Chiefs more than I like them in practice. I just didn't think this album is not the revival that some think it is going to be.
I think I'm disappointed, really, because they were such heroes, not just to me, but other indie fans, people from Leeds, music lovers back in the day, and they've just lost an element of that. I'm not going to say sold out, because that's cliched, but everything that made them special before, they felt unique when they arrived.
Employment was like an update of Park Life, basically.
Yeah.
And that album is still one of the, I think it's one of the 100 best-selling albums of all time in this country.
Wow.
I mean, it's sold 2 million copies in this country.
Rightly so.
But the feature is Medieval, fantastic. Their fourth one, you know, not 6 years later. Sold,
I couldn't name a track
off
that album.
It sold something like a 20th of the total.
Wow.
Only reaching number 10 in the chart. So if this reaches number one, that will be something of a revival. But yeah, education, and war, not great, I'm afraid. Really wanted to like it, but don't. So,
Cloud Nothings, called Here and Nowhere Else. It's been released this week. Here is Now Here In. I go outside and see all these things that should be real. Come on, you're a part of it. Can you breathe? Can you feel? You're not the same as me, but I know we share a thing. No use to remember how it used to be so lean. I can feel your pain and I feel all right about it. I can feel your pain and I feel... That was Now Here In. Spelled H-E-A-R.
Yeah.
By Cloud Nothings from their this week released album, Here and Nowhere Else. That's here spelled H-E-R-E.
Yes.
For reference. I appreciated that muchly. It sounded a bit Sonic Youth, very 90s. A tinge of shoegaze. Lauren approves.
As do I. Cloud Nothings are essentially a front for a songwriter called Dylan Baldy.
Cool name.
Yeah, this is their second album as a full band setup. So he did record one by himself and some hired musicians, and now they've kind of gone full time. Their last album, which was called Attack on Memory, was released at the start of 2012, and absolutely breathtaking. It was one of the albums of the year. It's just one of those instant alternative classics like Spiderland by Slint that just makes you think about that genre differently. It was produced by Steve Albini, who famously produced a couple of Pixies albums. In Utero by Nirvana, one of PJ Harvey's albums, and it's a member of Big Black and Shellac. This isn't quite as good, largely because Steve Albini isn't on the production desk anymore. This guy called John Congleton, who hasn't quite got the big bassy thwack that album had. It just wasn't sort of face tearing, was it? It was kind of fuzzy and just authentically early 90s.
Subdued, like early Smashing Pumpkins.
Yes.
Had that drone to it.
This album is more upbeat, but it still has the same kind of power. the abrasive exterior of all of like the songs, and particularly the one you just heard, everything seems to be kind of played in the same room, doesn't it? It's like they've just congregated around one microphone and kind of and just gone for it.
That's
one take.
Low production. I think that's the sound they were going for there.
Yeah. Well, it's yes, it's a sound that I love anyway. But underneath that exterior is quite an accessible core. It's quite sort of, it's almost pop punky. It's not as good as Attack on Memory, but not by much. We awarded it 8. It's a very short album, lasts just over half an hour. It's something of a headphones album as well, which is kind of a sort of genre of albums that's. It sounds really pretentious. That's because it is. But yeah, it's much better when you listen to it on headphones.
Yeah,
need to. It just sort of rattles around your head a lot more.
You need to give it your full attention. If you heard it, having a drink in a rock bar, and this song came on, you probably wouldn't think. You wouldn't ask the guy behind the bar what it was. You just, it's just noise. But that's why it's a headphones album. You can definitely see that.
Yeah, oh, it's not just noise. It's it follows in a long tradition of American alternative rock.
Yeah, I guess that was a bit dismissive, and it wasn't meant in the way that it's just noise. It doesn't have any impact. It's
very full on. It's full on to the point of distortion, isn't it? At the time.
Yeah.
And some of the other tracks, I mean, some are a lot sort of more abrasive, and like you can hear the bass guitar like buzz because of like how sort of over revved the production is. But that's great. That's what makes it work.
Yeah.
I think. And like the drums sound quite metallic and.
There are albums for this week, but you can check out the website laserguidedmelodies.co.uk for more of our reviews, including The Hold Steady, Mac DeMarco, Band of Scores, and Coves.
Yeah, Mac DeMarco in particular, really excellent album. I know he's got the name of kind of, he should be collaborating with Rihanna or something with a name like that, but it's spectacular sort of bedroom album, basically. He produced it in his flat, it's his third album.
Wow. Where's he from?
New York.
Right.
Actually, no, he's Canadian and lives in New York. Sorry. But that's really good. Definitely recommend that. Band of Skulls is okay. Coves is pretty good. Hold Steady were also pretty good as well.
Great. Now the anniversaries. Woohoo. Celebrating big birthdays for classic albums. As we mentioned at the start of this show, it's a very busy month for landmark and album anniversaries, so we'll try to be brief, but I think Ed's going to get on his soapbox about this next one because it's R.E.M. and Ed loves R.E.M.
I love R.E.M.
Their second album, Reckoning, reaches its 30th anniversary. 30th? Wow. Mm. On the April the 9th, we'll hear some lavish praise and analysis from Ed following clips of two of its singles, South Central Rain and Don't Go Back to Rockville. The trees were in, the city's washing. South Central Rain and Don't Go Back to Rockville from R.E.M.'s Reckoning. Take it away, Ed.
R.E.M., as you know, Lauren, one of my favourite bands of all time.
Indeed, we know.
You know, a 30-year-long recording career that started in 1983 with Murmur and ended in 2011 with Collapse Into Now. They split up like 5 months after they released their last album, and this website wasn't around then. So basically, Reckoning and its 30th anniversary is an excuse for us to do sort of a long overdue obituary. We're writing a long form article, I am, along with Matthew Langham, and it should be up by April the 9th, which is when the 30th anniversary is, and we're going to attempt to sort of rank the REM albums and place Reckoning within the REM legend. But I have to say, very few groups make even one flawless record in their career, but REM have made two. Yeah, so released 30 years ago, Reckoning built upon sort of the strange, sort of, impenetrable beauty of Murmur with this kind of richer, more melodic sound. Every single track on this is worthy of a single release. The two you just heard were singles. They fell outside the Billboard 100 in America. They didn't do a thing over here because they didn't get much exposure. But the album just seems to... It seems to be like a paragon of modesty, despite the embarrassment of riches that are on display. They built upon their sound, and they continue to do so for their next two albums after this, until they made 1988's Green, which is when they discovered their trademark sort of mandolin sound, which is why Losing My Religion was such a huge hit. Yeah, that those sort of sonorous like guitar lines, the ringing melody that you hear, it originates elsewhere. Like the Byrds kind of did that kind of thing first, but they became pretty standard afterwards. Pavement, Teenage Fan Club, Bright Eyes, Bella Sebastian, and even Travis, and new bands like Real Estate, Band of Horses, The War on Drugs, and Mac DeMarco kind of used the same style. Pavement, also one of my favourite bands ever, wrote an entire song about how much they love Reckoning, which is, you know, kind of sweet. This is their first masterpiece out of, in my view, at least four that they wrote. And if Reckoning were released today, I'd definitely give it 10 out of 10. But you can see the main article for a bit more in-depth analysis when it goes up, and we'll see where it places in top 15. Not the top 15, the 15.
Excellent.
Yeah. What did you reckon to those songs?
I am also an REM fan, but probably not to the depth that you are.
just that don't go back to Rockville sound. It's the piano that's in the back of it as well. It's just so relentlessly
distinctive,
upbeat,
aren't they? Without doing anything particularly groundbreaking, they manage to, if you hear a song, it's not just Michael Stipe's voice that will tell you it's REM. It's the noise of the guitar, the general timbre of the song will tell you that it's REM. How many bands can boast that instantly distinctive sound? Not many. So yeah. They deserve every accolade.
The Replacements did broadly the same college rock sound, and between them they kind of invented this whole sort of sub-strata of American alternative music that still has such an impact today. And you bear in mind that REM, like we said, were in operation only 3 years ago. They stuck around for so long. They did everything in their career. They were a college rock band, you know, they were quintessentially indie. Then they became mainstream, the biggest band in the world. Mm. Then they experimented. And then they had their sort of Indian summer with Accelerate and Collapse Into Now. Yeah, one of the bands that's kind of... They've done everything in their career.
I feel like they're one of those bands that will get back together at some point.
I hope so. I never got to see them live.
There's bound to be a reunion tour booked at some point in the coming years. It's almost inevitable, I feel.
It depends if they run out of money, I guess.
Yeah, indeed.
Right. Anyway, let's move on. We've got two more albums to talk about, Lauren.
Okie dokie. Pixies' second album, Doolittle, hugely influential in the alternative rock world, was released 25 years ago on the 18th of April. Here are three clips from it: Debaser, Here Comes Your Man, and Silver.
I am Lucia. I am Lucia. I am Lucia. I am Lucia.
Debaser, Here Comes Your Man, and Silver from the Pixies' second album, Doolittle, celebrating a rather nice birthday.
Yeah, 25
April.
Quarter of a century.
Whoa.
Yeah. Well, for the uninitiated, Pixies are a pretty legendary indie punk group, I think. Indie punk, is that how you describe them?
Yeah, just announced to be playing Glastonbury this year.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, well, I'm a bit slow on the uptake there. Anyway, indie punk group from Boston, active originally from like 1987 to around about 1993 when they sort of collapsed in a big heap. Before they reformed about 10 years ago, and they're just about to make a new album formed out of three EPs that they've released over the last 6 months, which we will be reviewing. Anyway, Doolittle, their second album, is not only considered to be incredibly influential, but also one of the greatest albums ever. Back in 2003, the NME ranked it the second greatest album of all time, and Rolling Stone put it in their top 100 as well, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah, it's one of those just incredibly vivid albums that you listen to it and just it's just a jolt to the system. It's full of all this weird imagery, like in Debaser, like the lyric about slicing up eyeballs comes from like an art house film in the 30s, and like imagery of like of biblical figures rushing for the toilet, basically in track 6 off the album. His name escapes me. Anyway. But that's Frank Black's sort of lyrical style, but he also sort of marries that with his vocal style, which is that kind of insane scream, isn't it?
Everyone loves an insane scream.
Yeah. Anyway, Debaser's quite abrasive, but Here Comes Your Man, that's a very upbeat and actually quite a pop song. You hear it in indie clubs to this day. It's, you know, dun 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 dun, just really catchy. Bands that followed them didn't make the effort to be as melodic. Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana famously sort of used the loud, quiet dynamics in order to when they rose to fame in 1991, to the extent that Kurt Cobain and Chris Novoselic both thought they were going to get sued for copyright infringement. It also influenced bands like Smashing Pumpkins and Weezer, PJ Harvey, Radiohead, and Bloc Party. Opinion is split on whether Doolittle or its predecessor Surfer Rosa is the better album. Both are really excellent, but I reckon Doolittle just about edges it because, as a listening experience, just that little bit more accessible for the mainstream listener. If you were going to play somebody who'd never heard them before one of their albums, this would be it. I mean, Surfer Rosa is like really abrasive and equally influential, but this wins out, and yeah. It's good that it's celebrating its 25th anniversary when the Pixies are back in the public eye to an extent that they are, because now we can actually, you know, have a proper analysis of the influence that it had. And its influence is tremendous. What did you make of the album?
All I have to say is Devil Horns.
Devil Horns. Nice.
Yep, Lauren enjoyed. No, I understand how influential they are. I understand that they're a great band, but I wouldn't list them in my, top 100 favourite bands, even though I'm a huge alternative fan. And I don't know why that is.
I can't understand that, dude.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? I've just never found anything to enthrall me. It's hard to explain. That's the best way I can do it.
Their career did slump somewhat after this. I mean, Bossa Nova came out in 1990, and Trompe Le Monde came out the year after that, and that was it. Only four albums, and before the world had begun to appreciate how influential they were already gone.
Mm.
And I don't really like Bossa Nova and Trompe Le Monde as much as the two. Actually, nowhere near as good as the first two, in my view. But there are fans out there who say Trompe Le Monde is the best of the lot. So all eras of the Pixies have their appeal.
Yeah.
And now, of course, they're back, and they seem to have been touring relentlessly for the last 10 years. And some say sort of trashing their legacy by sort of by chasing the dollar through the reunion circuit.
Got to pay the bills,
though,
haven't you?
Well, yeah.
I hope to report back in 6 months and go, oh, you know what? What I said was rubbish. I love the Pixies now. Maybe I just need to listen
will.
To them a bit more.
Yeah. Anyway, our review of Indie Cindy will probably be, if not the next episode, the one after. So keep the ears open.
Eyes peeled.
Yeah, so one more album which will fit in before we have to go.
Yep, finally we have a landmark hip-hop album which was released 20 years ago on April the 19th. Illmatic by New York rapper Nas. Here's a clip of the fourth single to be taken from Illmatic called The World Is Yours.
It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Whose world is this?
The world is yours, the world is yours.
It's mine, it's mine, it's mine.
I sip the dumb peak, watching Gandhi till I'm charged and writing in my book of rhymes. All the words past the margin. The whole of mic, I'm throbbing. Mechanical movement, understandable smooth shit that murderers move with. The thief's theme, the thief's play theme. Me at night, they won't act right. The fiend of hip hop has got me stuck like a crack pipe. The mind activation, react like I'm facing time like Pappy Mason. With pins, I'm embracing. Wipe the sweat off my dome, spit the phlegm on the street.
The World Is Yours by New York rapper Nas from his landmark hip-hop album, Illmatic.
Yeah, well, in addition to being a classic album, Illmatic contributed to the revival of the East Coast New York hip-hop scene in the early to mid-90s, alongside, you know, the likes of Wu-Tang Clan and Mobb Deep, and whose revival was capped off by Notorious B.I.G. and later Jay-Z. It's only 10 tracks long, 3/4 of an hour. It's sort of a rap album playing like a rock experience in that way. It doesn't go on, you know, over an hour like quite a lot of 90s rap albums did. Nas himself is unusually lyrical, and poetry analysts have even seized upon Illmatic as an example of street poetry. I mean, I don't subscribe to the school of thought that says that rappers are poets, but he is certainly a vivid storyteller. The production is really tough and gritty. It remains widely celebrated among hip-hop aficionados, if not the mainstream. This was because it sold quite modestly at first, but it sort of steadily grew by word of mouth, and for the most part it sort of existed under the radar. Nas has never quite hit the heights of this since, but it helped move the American scene away from De La Soul and A Tribe Called Quest and sort of the Native Tongues inspired alternative hip-hop that we spoke about in the last episode when we were doing 3 Feet High and Rising. I mean, that was how hip-hop was judged in like the first years of the 90s. And so this sort of moved the scene and the focus back to the East Coast from the West Coast, and, you know, De La Soul and Dr. Dre, that sort of thing.
Just listening to the album, you can tell how influential it is. You know, it's almost to the point where it sounds like a parody of rap music because of all the hip-hop artists who have based their work since this album on this album.
Oh, yeah, well like every cliche, it originates somewhere, doesn't it? And this... A lot of what Nas talks about is about sort of rising up from beyond, from your beginnings, and making something of yourself, despite, you know, in the face of adversity.
And that's why
a recurrent theme among hip hop for the last 20 years. But, you know, Nas was among the first to do it.
That's why I'd argue against the motion that that rap isn't poetry, because
I'm not saying it's not poetry. I just think some people get very carried away with it.
Sense. Yeah, sure, it may not be. Rhyming couplets, might not be a sonnet, but it sounds cheesy, but poetry of the streets. You know, people nowadays aren't accustomed to picking up a book of poetry and reading it, but they'll happily dissect the themes and emotions within a rap song. It speaks to people in a way that poetry surely did in years and years gone by.
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, don't take me for some kind of sniffy snob. It's just some people do try, you know, throw the phrase sort of, you know, oh, he's an urban poet around quite a lot. I think we were talking about Nas. It's going to get a 20th anniversary reissue on April the 15th, so 4 days before it celebrates its landmark, which should include probably the usual hatful of remixes that accompany these sort of things.
That we appear to have reached the end of our topics for this week.
Yeah.
Next edition, which will be appearing round about Easter, if we can get ourselves together. We'll have reviews of albums by Paolo Nutini, Sone, The Amazing Snakeheads, and others. We'll also be rounding off this hectic month of album anniversaries by analysing The Stone Roses' legendary debut, which I love, which turns 25. Blur's breakthrough album Part Life also turns 20, and we'll be talking about whichever Outkast, David Bowie, or Nick Cave albums take our fancy.
Yeah, whichever I can be bothered to do.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook at Laser Guided Melodies, and make sure you do check out all of our writings at our website, laserguidedmelodies.co.uk. Into the address bar, please, people. Or you can, if you just want to chat to us, follow us on Twitter by searching for at LG Melodies.
Okay, well, until Easter time, we'll see you then.
Ciao, ciao.